Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Evert. Thank you for joining me. Today, I have exciting news. And I also have two wonderful, beautiful guests, actually, from EWTN, Veronica and Melissa, who do the word on the word. Every Friday, they post videos on social media explaining what the scripture is going to be that Sunday. And I've been watching them and paying attention, and it's actually really helped me. But I just wanted to let everybody know about it and how it came to be, just all that good stuff. But before I get into it with those lovely ladies, I have some other things and exciting news, actually, I would like to talk to you about. So without further ado, yes, let's get right into it. Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Evert. Thank you for joining me. So I do have a big announcement, and here we go. Have you ever felt that you're not enough? Hi, I'm Crystalina Evert, and I invite you to join me along with Cameron Fradd, Joy Pinto, Teresa Tomio, and others for a free 8-part EWTN online learning series, Women Made New. Together, we will find a path of healing, wholeness, and holiness. Sign up for the videos at EWTN.com/womenmadenew. It's here. It is up. It is live. And for those of you that signed up already for it, you should have gotten an email in your email box that you have access to all the videos, all the reflections, all of the resources, which they did such an amazing job. The EWTN team that I work with, Mission Advancement, they were absolutely phenomenal. And ladies, I have to say, this is such a gift to me and a gift that I can give to you, because I know what it's like to be so wounded and broken and constantly stuffing so much inside and trying to just go through the motions all the while, feeling like a hot mess all the time. And you know what? It's not a way to live. And maybe you are broken, and maybe you do have wounds, and maybe you have a past that is bad and you're ashamed of. And I just want to say, it's okay, and that you are not alone. And I invite you to join me and countless women all over the world that are signing up to do this Women Made New online learning series. And it's free. It's absolutely free, ladies. You can sign up, and I'm going to give you the website so you can even look through it while I'm talking to you right now. So you can go to EWTN.com/womenmadenew. Okay. And go there and you just sign up and they give you access. And also you can go download the app, the EWTN learning app, and you can sign in through your phone so you can watch them anywhere. Go to a coffee shop, get your ear pods, get a cup of coffee, and let's go. But we are going to go on this journey, ladies, together. And it is so well done. And the detail that they put in this, it is unbelievable, because there are so many women right now, ladies, struggling with anxiety. They are struggling with so many insecurities and deep wounds and hurts. And at the end of the day, let's just be honest, Jesus is the only one sometimes that can take you to those places that are so dark and put that light and heal you and transform you to become the woman that God is truly calling you to be. And every one of you listening right now, you have a mission. You have a plan for your life, and God created you for a special purpose, a purpose to be fulfilled and lived out on this earth right now. And most of you probably are not doing that right now. I know for the longest time in my life, I was not doing that. And because my wounds kept me handicapped, I was in such bondage of my own sin. And it doesn't have to be that way. Your entire life can change. Your entire life could change today, first of all, by going to confession, because it is Saturday, ladies. And I always remind my listeners, it is Saturday and it is time to go to confession. I try to go every 2 weeks, sometimes 3 weeks, but I practice what I preach. So join me and let's go to confession today, because I'm due. So I will be going to confession today, but go to confession and start, download this series and just start fresh, start new. See what God is doing in your life and listen to those small, still whispers that I know He's giving you right now. Now, these videos are not just any videos, okay? Because there is one specific contributor that I just, it honestly, ladies, it brings tears to my eyes that Mother Angelica is one of these contributors, and she has a video of her chapter of regret, remorse, and sorrow. And that chapter actually has come to life, and they use the whiteboard show that I actually used a lot of for that chapter. And she's actually teaching you herself on this topic. And just to hear her voice say the quotes in the beginning of her videos, it's just beautiful. It is so beautiful. And it is such a gem and a gift to us, because Mother Angelica and her teachings and what she built and her courage and her love for God, Jesus, and the Eucharist is truly something all of us ladies really can look to for encouragement and help. And I have learned and grown so much because of Mother Angelica and her writings and my experiences that I've had going to the shrine and reading her writings and just praying with them. But this is really beautiful, because she's also going to walk with us on this healing journey. And I would just really encourage you to go, to sign up. And there also is a study guide that goes along with all of it. So each chapter has reflections, we'll have questions, we'll have prayers, we'll actually have resources that you can go to, counselors even, my own website, womenmadenew.com, that you can go to and really go deeper into that healing process after you complete this, if that's something that you really want to go further in. But right now, ladies, we're under attack. Let's be honest. We are absolutely under attack in our culture, in society, in our faith, and it's time for us to step up to the plate and be proactive and show up to this fight and your own fight in your healing process and become whole and become new and become strengthened and step into the mission that God is calling for you. This is my invitation to you, and that you will not do this alone, but that you will do this together with other women that have experienced heartbreak, that have experienced a broken marriage, that have experienced being sexually abused or struggle with people pleasing or body image or cancer or whatever has gone on in your life, whatever wound holds you back, whatever past you may have, it doesn't matter, because God is bigger, God is greater, and God is calling you. And we, ladies, are not a generation that is going to be formed by the culture, but we are going to be formed by being women of God and what it is He's calling us to do and to be in our lives. And it's time to rise up unafraid of whatever it is we have to face and to do whatever it is God is asking and calling us to do. And this, again, is my invitation to you to join me to do this online free learning series and see what God says to you. And you can print out the study guide. And I would actually really encourage you to do that. So that way, like me, I'm taking it into adoration and I'm actually going through and I'm doing it very methodically and prayerfully, because this is also helping me. And the videos from Father Joseph Mary or Joy Pinto or Cameron Fradd or Teresa Tomeo, just everyone involved had so much to say, and that just was right there with different wounds that maybe I have experienced or have struggled with, and I'm just doing it with Jesus. So I really encourage you also take this into adoration with you and join me. And again, it is ewtn.com/womenmadenew and sign up today. And let me know what you think. I'll be posting a lot of videos, I already have, on my social media, so you can just get a taste of what's going on and behind the scenes and filming. I had a lot of fun doing this. So join me, ladies. Just join me, pray about it, and let your friends know, let your aunts, your sisters, people that you know that are struggling in their lives and they just don't know what to do, just email this to them, DM them this, text them, let them know this is there and available, and they can do it in the privacy of their own home, or they could do it with a group study. And once a week, ladies, get together, have community, talk with each other, do a video, do a reflection, have some wine and have dinner and talk about everything together, pray together, make a community of women helping women. And I've always said that Women Made New is about women helping women. And ladies, that's what we need right now. We need to help each other, lift each other up, love each other through that brokenness, through that woundedness, put all nonsense aside, all women struggle with the competition, with the backbiting, with all of that nonsense I can't stand. Put it aside, ladies. Come together and you can do this even as a group or with just your best friend. But regardless, go download the app on your phone, get the learning series, and let's go. Let's do this together. And no, I am praying for you. Okay, so moving on, let's talk about June and it being dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And it is coming to a close here pretty soon. And with that being said, in one of my past shows, I had a small reflection on the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and I wanted to share that with you. So here it is. So everyone, how often do we get scared that we're going to be abandoned and that God's not going to want you? That if he really sees who you are and the things you've done, that he's going to abandon you? And that was one of my fears. And at the end of the day, it is a lie from the pit of hell, because God is not going to abandon you. And one thing that I realized when I was in prayer and adoration was I give too much attention to that demonic dialogue that is always trying to beat me up. And I love that Chinese proverb that says death by a thousand cuts. That is the demonic dialogue that we allow to chip away at our insecurities, to tell you that you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not worthy enough, that God doesn't love you, that he doesn't want you, and you're just going to fail. And there's so many times I've given way to those insecurities and to the way the evil one is trying to beat me up. And if he can turn you into your own worst enemy, then his job is done. If he's doing it for you, if you're actually doing it for him, of just like, yeah, I am stupid, I can't do this, it's too hard, God doesn't want me, God doesn't love me, and then you start believing it, eventually the demonic dialogue just stops because you've believed those lies and you're doing it yourself. So you really have to be on guard, because it's death by a spirit, by a thousand cuts. But spiritually, we really need to arm ourselves, because the devil is really hurting us spiritually on a daily basis of the things that we're believing, of the lies that he's telling us. And right now, I can't even imagine the way the evil one is trying to beat God's people up right now,
to weaken them spiritually, emotionally, even the mental strength of just like going against all of the lies that are being told to us. But again, we have to go see Jesus. We have to be spiritually strong. We really have to do things in our life to counter what is attacking us. And it was only just maybe a couple weeks ago, right? I was really getting attacked by these thoughts of like, okay, Kristalina, how can Jesus really just love you? I mean, look at the billions of people on this earth. Who are you? And it was constantly just bugging me and bothering me and just like, you're nothing. So I kept taking this to adoration, right? And I'm really giving you like an insight of my heart here. So I went into adoration and I'm like, Jesus, I know you love me, but I'm having a hard time wrapping just around the thought of that you just love me so much that if I were the only person, you would have died for me and he would have died for any of us. And all of a sudden, while I was in adoration, I had the most beautiful thought. Okay, now bear with me. All of a sudden, I saw this just beautiful image in my mind of the Sacred Heart. But then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I'm just thinking of this image of the Sacred Heart and it blew up. Now, bear with me. This is where I want you to bear with me. And it came back together in all of these unbelievable pieces that it looked like a puzzle. And all of a sudden, I saw on those puzzle pieces that made up Jesus' Sacred Heart were different names. So I saw Kristalina and I saw like John and Evelyn and Nancy or Father John Paul or whatever, right? All these different names, but there were also puzzle pieces missing in this beautiful image of his Sacred Heart. And all of a sudden I felt I saw just my name there, like kind of come out of this puzzle piece. And I knew in that moment that no matter all the different people that Jesus loves and he gives his heart to, I have that one piece, has my name, and then it's all mine. That piece of God's heart will forever be mine, and nobody will ever be able to replace that except me. It is shaped for me, it is for me, and I have a piece of God's heart. And I think every single one of us has that piece of God's heart that is just your very own. And the puzzle pieces that were missing in his heart were people that rejected God, that didn't want God, that didn't want to even just go there. And they rejected him completely. And those pieces will always forever remain empty. That God will not duplicate, replicate, or replace those people, because they were individual souls of people that he loved and he longs for and that he wanted that have rejected him. And so it helped me in this really childlike way of seeing God's heart as this big puzzle. And there was my piece just for me in that puzzle. And I see that for everybody. We all have this piece of God's most sacred heart, and that you're not overlooked, that you are wanted, you are loved, and that God will never duplicate, replicate, or replace you with anyone, because you are unique and he loves you in your own special way. And no one can take that from you. You are a child of God, and nobody, not anybody, can take that from you. And that everybody that is in hell right now, that's a choice. And when I heard a priest say that, it was shocking to me, but it's so true. It is a choice to reject God. It is a choice not to go to confession and dive into the things that you've done wrong or the ways that you are maybe rejecting God in your life. But God loves you. He wants you. He longs for you. And do not ever, ever think anything but that. And if you have temptation to think anything but that, it really is a lie from the evil one to weaken you and your relationship with Jesus that he so longs and he wants you to have.
Okay, the next announcement and invitation to you is the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament in Hanceville, Alabama, is putting on At the Well Women's Eucharistic Retreat. And I am going to be the speaker there. And it actually is going to be a day of healing, restoration, of going to confession, of really encountering Jesus. I would say like you never have before in the Eucharist. I did a 2.5-day silent retreat up there when I went up there filming a couple of months ago. I talked about it on my show. And it was the most unbelievable time I think I've ever spent with Jesus. And it takes your breath away when you walk in there. And it is just truly God's dwelling place. And this retreat is going to be on July 22nd. And it is calling all women 16 years old and up. And we are going to be talking all about everything we talk about in the Women Made New book and also in the Women Made New Learning series. So this is just another extension of that and also another opportunity to go deeper in your healing process. And they are only opening it up to, I would say, about 225 women. And I already know a lot of women have already been signing up. So I'm just getting the word out there. So if you do want to come to this, and I know women that have gotten a group of women and they are caravanning down, they're taking a road trip and they're going to be there with me for the day to be a part of this, to heal. And there even is going to be a Eucharistic healing service with some of the friars there, just to really see what it is God is asking of you and what God wants you to give him, let go of, and just to start over, ladies. So that is going to be July 22nd, so next month, and it is going to be at the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament, and you can go to their website at olamshrine.com. And if you don't know what this place is, this is the shrine that Mother Angelica built and where her nuns live in Our Lady of the Angels Monastery there. And we will be praying a rosary with Mother Angelica's nuns, and we will be doing evening vespers and prayers with her nuns as well. And it's just a really unique, beautiful opportunity. So I invite you, and an encounter Jesus in the Eucharist, who alone can satisfy our deepest desires, heal your deepest wounds. And as women, we are called to be that joyful witness of beauty, of femininity, to spread joy to our friends and our family. But we can't really spread that ourselves unless we are filled, right, with what God is asking us to be and his love and his mercy. So we are going to have a day just to stop and reflect and just spend time with Jesus, and there'll be talk. So again, come and see, and I invite you. And again, if you don't know about the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament, I would encourage you truly go to that website, and they just redid their website. It is beautiful. They did such a good job. So I encourage you to go to that to sign up. There aren't a lot of spaces, like I said, and I look forward to seeing you there. So we are now going to take a break with our friends over at EWTN, and we are going to come back with Melissa and Veronica, and those are the beautiful ladies that do the Word on the Word on social media every Friday. I absolutely love it. Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me and tuning in. Today, we have very special guests here, not just one, but two lovely women, and they are part of the EWTN family. And one is Veronica Arndt I'm so bad at pronouncing names and it freaks me out sometimes. You got it right. See, and I'll just be so honest about that. And then we also have Melissa Jansen. Hello, hello, ladies.
Hello, thank you for having us.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you. And I wanted to interview both of you because I am seeing you a lot more. Maybe I'm just paying attention a lot more now to what you're doing on social media and your presence there for EWTN. And it is called Word on the Word. So can you explain to my listeners what that is?
Well, it started about a year and a half ago, maybe?
Yeah.
We're about a year and a half in. And the Word on the Word is basically Melissa and I explaining a little heads up of what's going to happen for the readings on Sunday. And then we give a little challenge.
Yeah. And then each of them is about a minute to a minute and a half long. And we post them on EWTN social media pages. Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.
And it's really nice because it is the scripture and the mass. Like, explain that whole thing.
Yeah, so we literally go through week by week. We take turns every week, and we will read through all of the readings for mass on Sunday. And we will pick one of the readings specifically to focus on. Sometimes we do the obvious one. Sometimes we pick a little more obscure reading. Like, the second reading that might be difficult to understand, we'll be like, oh, get that. So let me research it. And from our research in it, we come up with an easy way to explain it and like a little anecdote. Sometimes they're funny. And just a challenge that everybody can gain something from.
Because when you're thinking about going to mass, because like, let's be honest. Okay. At least even for me, I am crazy busy as soon as I wake up every morning with my 8 children and just getting them out the door to school, that I'm not thinking about, oh, what are Sunday mass readings this weekend, you know, and focusing and contemplating. But it's really nice because you put those videos out there that you can just watch a quick little minute, 30 second video. And it's just like, oh, okay, that's what's going to be happening, or just to be able to think about it. And it's really interesting the way that you approach this, that you wanted to do something like this. So how did that even start?
Well, I think Melissa tells the story really well because it all started on a weekend we were working together.
Yeah, it was an overnight and we were very tired, and to say the least. And we were just kind of spitballing ideas of like how to draw more people to EWTN, like especially the younger crowd. And we thought, well, like what's something that we would like to see? And so we kind of put ourselves in that place and thought, well, like, I would like to know more about the mass, or like, because like when you go to mass, like you said, like we, or at least me, I'm tired in the morning, and like sometimes I don't always focus on the reading. So like having that foreknowledge before going into mass, I thought would be really helpful. And then we thought about it, talked about it a lot, and then here we are with the Word on the Word.
Well, we said we need to find 2 young faces to do this, and we scratched our brains and we were like, who are we going to talk into doing this? And we couldn't find anybody. So we did it.
It was like, why not you? And sometimes isn't that how it goes when God asks you to do something? You're like, well, this would be good, but probably for that person, not for me, because you're just like, there's no way. But it's like, well, God put it on your heart. And it's like, well, really, Lord, I don't really want to do that. Let somebody else do that. And he's just like, no, I'm asking you to do it. And sometimes that's hard to do. Sometimes it's hard and overwhelming, or it can be embarrassing, or it can be scary to do whatever it is God's asking you to do. But it actually has been very successful with what you've done, right?
Yeah, there was certainly a lot of trust that we had to put into this. And putting ourselves on the line and acting dumb sometimes, and just to do something to catch people's attention, but also to be able to tell the truth. So there are some skits where like I'm just scrolling through my phone and looking like I'm not paying attention. And Melissa's like, hello, you're doing what everybody else is doing right now. But it's been worthwhile. And I think, you know, it's made me look at the readings a little differently, because like I'll sit there and I'll be like, which one did we do? And I'll keep listening during mass. And then all of a sudden, like, I'll be like, oh, that one. And the priest will talk, like do a homily on it and do something completely different. Or sometimes they're a little similar. And that's really cool.
Yeah, definitely.
So how did you two end up at EWTN? I mean, and you look so young to me too as well. And you are compared to me. But how, Veronica, did you end up at EWTN?
Well, when I graduated from college, I did a year in news. And I knew that news was a wonderful place for other people, but not for me. It's hard, and I wasn't cut out for it. And I had to know that. And I had to believe that in myself, and I took a step back. And I really wanted to work at EWTN. My best friend since fourth grade, her brother is a friar here. And I was like, well, I could try that. So I put in an application to be a producer and they said no. And I was like, well, I guess I'll figure something else out. So I started working like another like daytime job just to make ends meet. And then I got a call back. They needed somebody to run audio desperately. And I was like, okay, all right. I can learn it. I can do it. And
I'm willing. Why not?
So I learned audio on the job and it was awesome. This place really became like a family, especially really quick because my dad was put into the hospital like a week after I started, like a man with no health issues at all. And he was like in the hospital with like an aneurysm and a ruptured hernia and a list that is like a laundry list long. And he survived. But I also am grateful for the people around me because like I was able to be there every day and I was able to be with him. And I had this encouragement of the EWTN family being beside me because they just let me cry to him. Or just let me talk to him or just let me get anything I needed out. And I really appreciated that. And I was like, ooh, this is very different from news. Whereas that's so fast paced and it is so like intense. Here, you know, we spread the word of God. And if there's issues, you take a deep breath and you move through it. You don't have to rush. You don't have to hurry. I mean, there's definitely a quickness to it. But it's not the pressure because you know what you're speaking is the truth. And you know that, you know where it's coming from. So you know that it's good.
That's right. That is right. So to add on to kind of that story, and EWTN really is just kind of a family where everybody's welcome, right? And they have kind of what you need, especially spiritual family, right? Mm-hmm. So not too long ago, and I haven't actually really talked about this since, I did on social media, but I just haven't really spoken about it since because it was a lot. But when Father Louis, who was my spiritual director, mm-hmm. Was dying and we were all kind of around his death, but there was like just a handful of us, right? And they brought the monstrances and they did a Eucharist, a holy hour there, right? With him there, with Jesus. And we knew he was dying and I was so emotional and there was so much and Jesus is there and Father Louis is there. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. And he was so close to our family. You know, he baptized all of my children. He married Jason and I. And I mean, he was just so ingrained as part of our life and especially my life as being my spiritual director, you know, and you just know that this was a gift, but now God is taking this gift back. And that's a big deal in someone's life. But I was so emotional and everyone in the room, but I know we needed to have prayers and he needed that and we needed to do that for him in that time. So I literally was so grateful. I can't even tell you, everyone out there, for the EWTN app, because I literally grabbed my phone and I knew exactly where the prayers were and I was able to just keep pressing play and doing like the long versions with the friars of the Sacred Heart, right? Litany or just everything they had. And I just kept pressing play. And in such an emotional, hard time for me going through that and being able to have those prayers and have that resource just right in my hands during that time. And I didn't even have to think. And you could just see this peace because it's so beautiful and you hear the sister singing and it's just so holy and good. And you could just see his face almost change hearing, even though he couldn't talk, you know, this demeanor changed. And I just was so grateful. And I look back at that and it was just such a huge presence in the room and in my life at that time. It's a big deal to be able to have that at your fingertips. So I was so appreciative of the EWTN app and of EWTN as that family that was like there for me in that hard time, right? And so I know you understand that it matters. It really does. At the end of the day, it's like EWTN's outreach in their different ways. People don't even realize what they have and that they could have at their fingertips. That was a big deal. And that was a hard moment, but I just thank God for that. So,
and you can also feel the prayers of the people around you. Like that's the thing that amazed me so much about Dad being in the hospital. Like I'm so grateful to God for him being alive, but I'm also so grateful for the people who prayed for him because like we were definitely just covered in prayer and you could feel it. And I think that's the only reason he's here.
Oh, that's beautiful. And what about you, Melissa?
Yes. So I was finishing up my last year of college and I was like, okay, what's next? Didn't really have anything lined up at the time. And noticed, I think I was outside of a parish that I don't normally go to back at home, that EWTN was sponsoring a video contest, a commercial contest called Cool to Be Catholic. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, why not? Maybe I'll look into it. And I ended up entering and winning in my division.
And wow. Okay. What was the video about? I have to know. Like, I just have, you won this contest. I want to know what that was about.
So the contest, I think it's actually just getting rebooted now since COVID. They stopped for a little bit. And it's to create a 30-second promotion about your Catholic faith.
Okay.
And there's a few different age groups. And so I was in the college age group and I created a video about the community. I went to school in South Alabama and I was just surrounded by a great community of Catholic students. And they really helped me through all those college years. And it was just fantastic. So I really wanted to focus on it. And so I interviewed some of them. I got some B-roll of retreats and other things like inside the chapel and kind of put it all together and sent it off. And then to my surprise, I won.
So what happened when you won? Okay, so you did this and you're probably like thinking, oh, I'm probably not going to win, but I'm going to hand it in. I know what that's like. Let's be honest here. Yes. It's like, it's not like you have all this confidence like, oh yeah, this is going to be me. This is my spot. Yes. No, it's like you hand things in sometimes and you're just like, I'm so not going to win, but at least I did it and I knew I was supposed to, right?
Exactly.
So when you actually did win, what was that like?
Exactly.
Come on.
I was sitting, I was just finishing a meeting with like a student production thing and I read it on my phone, like, congrats, you won. You're going to come to EWTN and do an interview on Life on the Rock. And I had to immediately leave the room because I like started bawling and I called my parents and my mom's like, is something wrong? I was like, no. No, I'm really happy right now. This doesn't normally happen. I know.
I'm just overwhelmed.
I don't know what to think. Like, I'm stressed out. Like, leaving college is a big moment. And then that on top of it, I was like, I have no idea what's going on. And so when they contacted me of like, hey, where can we fly you in from to do the interview? I was like, that's a great question because I have to do I don't know where I'm going to be after I graduate. And so I was like, do you guys have any jobs? And they were like, yeah, actually, we have a production assistant job up. And I was like, okay. And then before I knew it, I was working at EWTN.
Wow. Look at that. And you know what's amazing in this story, right? That God chose you. Like
he
you
did.
Were chosen, you know, and that's got to feel good. And just to like know that as a confirmation almost, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's really neat. That's amazing. I love that. And that you have to be absolutely affirmed in that, right? And that's your story and your walk and what God's doing in your life. But I commend you in that because that's awesome what you did. You probably were thinking, oh, I don't know if I'll win. Why should I? You probably the devil I could see like kind of beating you up a little bit because that's good you're doing and look what happened from it, right?
Exactly. So much has happened from it. And that's that whole interview is where I met Veronica at that that faded Life on the Rock interview.
You're going to bring that up. That
I can't leave it out.
I have to hear all about this. But before I do that, I just want to recap that I am sitting here talking with Veronica and Melissa, who work at the EWTN family here. And they do wonderful Instagram videos, and they are titled Word on the Word. And it's videos that they put out on social media every week to specifically hone in on the Sunday Mass readings. One of the readings they will pull out and they'll sit and they'll give just a little video, but an awesome explanation. And I think they do an excellent job on Instagram and what they're doing. And you get so busy in your life and everything happening and just going and coming and just life in general gets overwhelming that you don't even think I should prepare for Mass. I should think about what God's trying to say to me because Catholics aren't as good with Bible readings and Bible reading in general that it's almost like, oh, I could press a button, you know, and be spoon-fed. Why not? You know, but it works for me, honestly. And I love listening to them and watching them. But I am sitting here just discussing that and just how they even got to EWTN. Because how does anyone end up just working there anyway? Because I just don't think you just end up working at EWTN. No. So there's always an interesting story I'm finding that is behind that. So let's hear all about your Life on the Rock experience. And that is another show on EWTN geared towards the youth.
Yes. So I moved up to Birmingham without knowing anybody for this job. And day two, I had my interview up here. And I remember I got a tour. I met a few people, met the other, some of the other winners. And then we had the Life on the Rock interview. And oh, it's great. So I remember that I was so nervous for this.
You were.
Thank you. I was so nervous for this because, like, I'm not in front of the camera. I mean, this was before the Word on the Word was ever thought of. So I was very used to being behind the scenes. And so I was suddenly going to be on the screen, like, talking to one of the friars. It was Brother John. And you can find this video on YouTube if you search the depths of it.
I'm absolutely going to, just to let you know from this point.
I'll send it to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Veronica.
And would you like to pick it up from here?
Well, I was doing audio and someone had the age groups mixed up. So I had to put a mic on one person and then I'd take it off. And I lost what is called the windscreen on the microphone. So all that is like the little like cover for the top of the microphone. And this was a few months after I'd started. I started in like October and this was like spring, late spring, early summer. And of the following year. And I lost the windscreen on the floor. And I am not at the point of being comfortable yet to be like, oh no, I've lost something in that regard. So I just panicked and started looking down at the ground like it was going to appear or something. And someone asked me what I was looking for. And I was like, I lost the windscreen. And Melissa just ever so calmly points and goes, that windscreen? And it was just like the most like, you wanted an answer. Here's an answer. And I was like, this girl thinks I'm an idiot.
Oh, no.
So I put a mic on and left. And I was like, all right. And then she came to work a couple like later. And I was like, oh, yes. That girl still thinks I'm an idiot.
Oh, my gosh.
I did not think that at all, for the record.
Thanks for finding the windscreen for me.
Oh, you're welcome. I was surprised I found it and I remembered the name of it in that terrifying moment, to be honest.
As nervous as you were to go on Life on the Rock, right?
Exactly. So, yeah, meanwhile, I was thinking like, oh, there's a nice girl. Like, maybe we'll be friends when I start next week. I wonder if she knows if I'm starting. And then...
I did not.
No, she did not.
But I was assured that you thought I was an idiot. And I was like, man, she was smart. That was cool.
That worked.
Oh my goodness. So how did you do on Life on the Rock?
It was okay. It was pretty good. Not my finest moment, I would say.
It was a good interview. You can't tell she's nervous unless you know her. And I feel like that's a good quality that you have.
So what do you do? What is your role at AW10 on top of the videos that you do for Instagram?
So my official title is production assistant, which basically means you're a jack of all trades. There really isn't a normal day, to be honest. Some days I'm directing the mass in the mornings. Other days I'm running graphics for TV shows. Other days I'm floor directing for any of the shows that come through the studio. So you just kind of learn to wear a lot of different hats for all the different shows. So yes, sometimes I'm here early in the morning for the mass, and then sometimes I'm here late in the evening for EWTN Live. So my schedule is ever changing.
What about you, Veronica?
So I started as a production assistant, primarily doing sound. And then when the pandemic hit, I helped a lot with the producing side of things. So I kept making jokes like, I'd love to be a producer when this ends. Someone heard me because they let me become a producer. So I have a couple different shows that I produce, Women of Grace and the Catholic Sphere. And then, of course, I do the Word on the Word, so...
I've done the Catholic Sphere a couple times. It's really good. Debbie Cowden does an excellent job. We have a lot of fun.
So. It's been so fun to get to work with you on it.
It's been a good time. We've had a very good time this week, especially. So it's been good. Now, what is it like working at EWTN? Just the culture and Mother Angelica. What do you think of her? Like, what's your persona? And like, because she was already gone. When you started, did you know about EWTN before you like really got here? Were you watching it? I know you were because of that, but were you involved or no?
I wasn't really involved, but like as I started at EWTN, I started watching more Mother Angelica Lives, and that's where like my heart for Mother really came to be, because like I can sit down and just watch them back to back on a long day, and I just, yes, I think they're the most wonderful thing because they're so relatable, and she is so funny, and so real, and so her love of God was so brilliant, and just it shone in everything that she did. But as far as Ida working here, I would say that like the term family really is like the biggest word, because we're there for each other. Like, not only are we getting to spread the word of God, but like we're in the throes together sometimes, and that's for better or for worse some days, but like, you know that the people there have your back, and you know that your coworkers have your back, and that you're all there for more than just like making a paycheck. You are here to spread the word of God. So even on your worst day, like you could see an email that comes through that was like, the mass changed my life. And it's like, you know what? Yeah. Like I spilled my coffee on my shirt. Like I like had a terrible morning, but what I did when I like came in to do mass early, even though I did not want to wake up, made a difference in someone's life.
Yeah, I think like especially having the pilgrims come through EWTN really kind of puts it in perspective, because they're like, oh, we saw you, or like, we love this show, and just seeing it through their eyes, because to us, it's, I mean, we've seen the same sets every single week, so it just kind of turns a little monotonous. But then when you have like a group of people who travel like sometimes out of the country to come look at the studio and just take in EWTN to visit the chapel, it's like, wow, like, yeah, this means something to a lot of people. Like, it's a real privilege to work here.
And it reignites that spark in you. Like, there's nothing greater than, I know before the pandemic, there would be people that would wander in on like a Wednesday in the afternoon, like before Father Mitch's live show, and they'd just kind of be like, they'd look lost. And I remember I found this like mom and her daughter one time, and they were like just standing in the lobby, and you can't, you know, you've got to talk to people. We're in the South. It's just a thing. We talk to everybody. So I was like, hey, like, who are y'all? How are you doing today? And the lady was like, I used to come down here all the time and I wanted to show my daughter. And it was one of those days that nothing went right. Everything went wrong. And I was just like, oh, okay. Like, all right, I'll give you a tour. So we like started this tour, and like the woman starts explaining to her daughter that like she saw Mother Angelica here, and like, look at how this set is made, and like how much it like, it really meant to her as a kid, and how she kind of, not drifted. I don't know this woman, but how she hadn't been as close to EWTN specifically in a long time. And her daughter was just like taking in the moment of like her mother reminiscing and like understanding that like in Birmingham, we have this ability to take the gospel and spread it throughout the world. Like one nun did all of this, and it kind of made me look at the day and be like, you know what? The rest of the day could be trash. Like this is all I needed. Like this is what God made this day for me. And it was to help these people and to, you know, let them know we're here.
Oh, that's awesome. And that's what I want people to know and be conveyed to, like, everyone's welcome. And this isn't just for your grandma. You know, EWTN isn't, and Mother Angelica's message isn't just for your grandma, you know, or something you saw in your mom's house growing up, right? This is for you and her message and this day and age.
And the gospel's always going to be applicable. Like, it's not just a bunch of people that ran around 1,000 years ago that doesn't matter to you. It is the truth. It is the living word that we have the ability to read and we have the ability to spread. And we get to do that every day.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, let's hear one of the Word on the Word videos that you did. So let's go to that right now.
Have you ever heard of Lex Talionis?
I don't know. Is that the new guy's name?
No, it's a Latin phrase, Melissa.
Oh, what is his name? Hi, this is Veronica and I'm Melissa. So what does whatever you just said mean?
Oh, Lex Talionis. It means the law of retaliation. It's an attempt to enact justice among the people of ancient Israel. Like, in this Sunday's gospel, we hear an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.
Oh, but that's not what Jesus is saying here. He's saying if someone hits you on one cheek, let them hit the other. And if anyone would sue you, let them take your cloak as well.
Right. Jesus says don't hate your enemies. Rather, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you.
Basically, Jesus is proposing a new rule. Rather than fight fire with fire, overcome evil with good works. It is not a moment to let people walk all over you, but a moment to practice virtue.
Wait a second. Wait. You're telling me that I have to love the people who frustrate me the most in this world.
Well, yeah, the reading says to be perfect as your father's perfect.
All right, well, if that's the case, your challenge this week is to be perfect.
Not quite, but that's a great goal. This week, we challenge you to pray for the people who are most difficult to love in your life.
And catch us next week here on The Word on the Word.
Bye.
Doodles.
I want to thank my guests, Veronica and Melissa, for being here on Women Made New. And is there any last thoughts that you want to give women out there? Or even men, women, priests, because all of them are listening. I didn't realize, but I'm getting a lot of emails from all of them now. So it's wonderful. So is there any last words that you would like to leave both of them or just any advice? Because you have a lot of wisdom, especially even working here and being surrounded by the people that you are.
And never let a bad day get you down. Because, I mean, there's always a point to a bad moment. Like, the devil's trying to get in the details. And if you let him, he will. And if you look for the good moments and you look for God and for the moments where Christ is shining through in your life, you will find them. And I feel like I have to say it. Take a look at the readings for Sunday before you go to Mass. Because, I mean, you can watch our videos and we'll tell you a little bit about it. But, you know, it does help to understand what's going on Sunday. And it's been very wholesome for me. I think I've grown in it, so...
Yeah, I would say, like, don't let yourself get in the way of what God is calling you to do. Like, I never thought that I would be in front of a camera. I think maybe Veronica could say the same. So she's shaking her head.
Didn't mean to do that. But God wanted me to, so we're here.
Yeah, and so, like, don't be afraid to, like, reach for what he might be calling you to do. And even if you fail at that, he's going to catch you with that, like... He's not going to let you down.
You're never too far away from God to not come back. You can always come back.
Thank you. I love that. And that really is the message. Like, it doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, or what's happened in your life. All that matters right now, this moment, is where you go from here. Mm-hmm. So thank you, ladies. This has been great. And I'm actually going to end the show today with actually another one of your word on the word, because I just think it's wonderful and people don't realize, but it helps and it matters. And God's words are life-giving to us when we hear them, right? And especially at Mass. So it's nice we're getting that also outside of Mass. So we're going to end the show with one of those word on the words from EWTN. It's on their social media. You can find them. And it is Veronica and Melissa. God bless everyone.
This week, we're taking a look at Matthew's gospel, and I think the line that you're referring to is where it says, what you hear whispered should be proclaimed upon the housetop.
Exactly.
But it's not talking about me whispering to you. It's talking about the persecuted Christians and how they should not be afraid to proclaim that Christ will come again.
I like how this gospel states that we should not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. It reminds me of the martyrs. Even today, there are people losing their lives for their faith in some parts of the world.
The gospel says to be more afraid of those who can destroy the soul and the body in hell.
You know, heaven should be our main goal in life. All other material things are just a distraction. Or to Veronica.
Sorry.
Did you hear anything I just said?
Well, you know, I think a good challenge this week would be to put away those distractions and pray that you have what it takes to stay close to God throughout your life.
And we'll see you here next week.
Bye.
I want to thank my guest again for being here, and I really am so excited about this learning series based on the Women Made New book, and know that you are in my prayers, and don't forget to go to confession, everyone. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. God bless.